Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
7 o'clock Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you get in on this Wednesday evening. And we got a lot to touch on here as we look ahead to an Eagles offseason, as we talk quarterback, and we'll have Elliott Shore Parks on later, a little Clearwater check-in as the Phillies really are ramping up now. The first spring training game is coming up on Sunday. I can't wait. But I want to start with a conversation that I heard throughout the day here on WIP, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And it wasn't, I'm not talking about the choice of topics by my colleagues here. I'm talking about just like the words that were coming out of people's mouths, whether it be hosts on WIP or callers. I never thought I'd get to the point, or any of us would get to the point, where we were having legitimate conversations about the T word. But I heard the T word, I mean, kind of through osmosis. Not everyone was saying the word, but it was what everyone was talking about. The idea of the Philadelphia Eagles effectively tanking the 2021 season was a big talking point today, and I heard lots of opinions on it. I was listening to WIP in the midday, in the afternoon, and I heard a lot of people chime in like, yeah, let's do it. Tank it. Get rid of everybody. Tear the whole thing down to the studs, and who cares what happens in 2021? I heard most people say they didn't care if they won one or two games next season. What's the big deal? And I'm sitting there in my car while I'm waiting for my daughter to get out of preschool. And I had to get my car inspected this morning, so I was in the car for a while, or, you know, driving around and waiting. And I'm listening on my phone, waiting for the car to get inspected. And I'm like, did I go into bizarro land here? No, I don't believe the Philadelphia Eagles should tank or, you know, completely tear this thing down to the point where it is a tank for the 2021 season. I think we are overreacting to what was a bad year. And there's no other way to say it. The Eagles had a bad year in 2020. Bad. I mean, they went four games. The quarterback got benched, asked out. Doug Peterson got fired. It feels like everything that we knew and could count on for the Eagles over the last 5 years has just disappeared. And we're at a point now where everyone just assumes this is going to be a bad football team for a while anyway. So why not just rip the Band-Aid off, get rid of all the expensive players, and destroy the whole thing? Well, I have a couple of reasons why it doesn't make sense to me. And number one, I mean, first and foremost, we're not giving enough credit to the organization. The Eagles simply don't stay down for long. The last time, and we've had moments where we were frustrated or upset or had bad years here. Like, it's not the first time the Eagles had a bad year. But you know what doesn't happen and hasn't happened since the late 90s? Back-to-back years with six wins or less. It just doesn't happen with this organization and hasn't happened since the late 90s. It's why the Eagles have been, for the most part, one of the NFL's most successful and consistent, you know, consistently contending among every franchise. They're there because they don't do this. What's been asserted or suggested or whatever, or a lot of people, it seems like, are okay with, the Eagles simply don't do, and they haven't had to do. And I don't believe most NFL teams do have to do this. You know who did it? The Browns a couple years ago. And it worked eventually. They've gotten to be a pretty good football team, made the playoffs this year. But you know why the Browns faced that reality? They were bad for two decades. They tried every strategy under the sun until they said, well, maybe we just tank. Maybe we just lose on purpose because we're going to lose anyway. That's not the Eagles. I mean, quite frankly, that's not even close to what the Eagles are after one bad year. So the idea that they have to do this or should do this spits in the face of modern Eagles history. They are not a franchise that is so bad for so long that this is the only way out, or so stuck for so long this is the only way out. I reject the idea. And then when it comes to these contracts and unloading money and trying to get out front of the salary cap, are we forgetting the one positive thing Howie Roseman does around here? He can move money around. He could get out from under bad salary cap situations. He just did this after the 2015 season. Like, I understand confidence level in Howie right now, probably at an all-time low. But when you think about Howie Roseman, if I were to write down 10 things that he's supposed to do as a GM, and you were to come in and look at what I wrote down, and you were to check off the ones he actually does well, one of the few you probably would check off, and we could probably all agree on, is when he's got to move money around and get the salary cap where it's supposed to be, he'll find a way. And he can find a way by moving players for assets that maybe they don't longer want. He can cut a player. He can restructure a contract. Like, I'm not worried the Eagles are going to have zero cap room on March 19th. In fact, I think they'll have some money to move around. Like, they'll have ability to sign some players. Are they going to shop at the top of free agency? No. But they could clean this up in a year, not get rid of still some valuable assets, and give themselves a shot to have a competitive football team in both this year and next year. So one, the Eagles don't do this. They just don't tank, and they haven't had to. Two, Roseman can get them out from the salary cap issues without getting rid of every decent player on the roster. They don't have to do this. And the third thing that I can't wrap my mind around is what it would do to the franchise. Like, we don't even know if Nick Sirianni can coach yet. We have no idea. Like, why are we ripping this guy's or cutting this guy's legs off before he starts? Like, there is a scenario where if we want him to, and then we push hard enough and the Eagles are listening, maybe they do get rid of every good veteran player. Maybe they do get rid of Kelsey and Brooks and Johnson and Cox and Graham and Slay. Get rid of them all. And they have the youngest team in the NFL next season, and they win two or three games. Well, what does that do? Like, what are we accomplishing by that? This is going to set them up for future success? Why? This is not the NBA. This isn't what the Sixers did, you know, all those years ago when they tanked. There is no formula in the NFL that says if you bottom out, you get back to the top. In fact, I could go to a team like the Jaguars. I could go to a bunch of teams that have just been bad by accident, the Lions, forever. And guess what? They don't win anything. They don't just rise back to the top because they fell to the bottom. They just stay at the bottom. In the NBA, I was pro-tank. I was pro the Sixers, what they did, because it had tangible benefits. Even in baseball, and you go to the Phillies, it was less publicized, but when the Phillies tore it down, they tore it down to the studs. And they wanted to be bad for, you know, advantages in the draft, which they blew, advantages in the international market, which they didn't take advantage of. And, you know, they kind of rebuilt this thing in a weird way, and they're a very expensive, mediocre, little above average roster. It didn't really work for them. Could have worked for the Cubs, worked for the Astros. Didn't work for them. And now you have what we're looking at with the Philadelphia Eagles here and this team. And I look at them like, wait a second. It doesn't guarantee any success. It's not like, you know, if you were to tell me right now that in next year's draft, there's an Andrew Luck, there's a Trevor Lawrence, there's a John Elway, there's a Peyton Manning, you know, guys that were looked at as truly generational quarterbacks. If that was there and we knew it a year out, and you said, Joe, look, I know you like Jalen Hurts, but we just take our medicine this year. You know, we go 2-14. There's Peyton Manning 2.0 there. I haven't heard one person say that about any quarterback in next year's draft. Not one. I mean, maybe there'll be a good quarterback or two, but that's not what anyone has said so far. So there's no guarantee of a great quarterback. There's nothing that tells you you're going to actually become a good team if you bottom out. You're giving your new coach and your new quarterback, by the way, in Jalen Hurts, at least for now, Jalen Hurts, no shot. And you have to evaluate what he is. I don't see it. I don't get it. And quite frankly, I want no part of it. 215-592-9494. This idea the Philadelphia Eagles should tank the season and just kind of like, oh, whatever. Let's just get rid of every good player under the sun. Now, I'm not going to sit here tonight and tell you that if they got a legitimate offer for Darius Slay tomorrow, I wouldn't take it. I would. Like, there's a way you can pick and choose to make your team better for the long haul while acknowledging what next year is going to be and probably not a year where they compete, you know, for anything significant. But, like, I wouldn't get rid of all these guys. I don't think it actually helps you as much as maybe we're thinking it does. The draft benefits are not as significant as you want to believe they are. And as far as rebuilding it, it's not going to be easy to do that. And you're also going to get Jalen Hurts killed next season. Like, if Kelsey, Lane, and Brooks are all ousted or traded or cut or whatever, or they tell Kelsey to go home and go retire, Like, who's blocking for Jalen Hurts? How are we going to find out anything about Jalen Hurts and what he is? And or maybe a kid they take in the first round, whatever. How are we going to find out about the next quarterback if he doesn't have a shot? Like, it's part of the reason why Carson Wentz succeeded for, you know, the early part of his Eagles career. They gave him an offensive line that he could play with. They gave him one that had good players on it. And the Eagles still have an offensive line that, if healthy, has good players. Like Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, Jason Kelsey, and I'll throw Seumalo, though, you know, no one's mentioning his name because he's young and, you know, they wouldn't just get rid of him. They'll be fine up front next year, especially when you add the depth they created this year, maybe my lot at left tackle. Like, they will not be a horrendous offensive line if they leave it alone. And I'll add one last thing into it, because I don't think we're recognizing this part of it when we talk about next season. The Philadelphia Eagles are not dead before the year starts when it comes to winning the NFC East. I looked at the FanDuel odds today on the NFC East. The Dallas Cowboys are the favorite at -105. They're the favorite, and they should be. But Dak Prescott, first of all, is coming off a major injury and is not under contract yet. So they're the favorite. I acknowledge it, but we'll see what happens with Dak. You know what number two is in the NFC East odds right now? It's Washington at +300. No team has won this division in back-to-back years since the 03-04 Eagles. And their quarterback right now is Taylor Heinicke or Heinicke. I still can't pronounce the dude's name. Is it Heinicke or Heinicke?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Washington's not winning this division unless they upgrade a quarterback significantly. The Eagles are next, ahead of the Giants. The Eagles are +440. Giants are at +550. 12 teams, 12 different teams in the NFL right now have worse odds to win their division next year than the Philadelphia Eagles. We're talking tank. Like, I understand the Eagles right now don't look like a very good football team for next season. I wouldn't bet them to go to the playoffs next year as they stand right now. But 12 teams have worse odds to win their division. The Philadelphia Eagles still have some good players. And none of this tank business actually guarantees anything. Or even, I'd say, close to guarantees anything. 215-592-9494. That's how you happen. A lot of talk today on WIP about just getting rid of every veteran left here that has any value. Move on, cut, trade, whatever. Just start this thing over and bottom out to where it's just down to nothing. I don't want to do that. I don't think it gives the new head coach a shot. I don't think it gives the new quarterback a shot. I think we're discounting the idea they could be competitive in this division next year. And I just don't really see the value in doing it to that extreme. Do you? Would you be okay if the Eagles effectively tanked next season? 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in on Sports Radio 94 WIP. 715 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here on this Wednesday night as we discuss the idea of the Eagles actually tanking a season in 2021. I am totally against this. I don't believe this actually works in the NFL. And I don't believe it would have the intended effect that maybe some people do. Like in the NBA, you do this, you get to the bottom, and right there at the top of the draft, it is the cure-all for all the issues you have. As long as you, that guy's there and you land him like Joel Embiid, it changes your franchise. And then a few years later, it was Ben Simmons. And since then, the Sixers have been a very competitive and winning and contending basketball team. It doesn't work like that in the NFL. You need too many players. And when I look at the Eagles, I think the idea of where they are now, the idea that's out there like, oh, they're going to be bad for 3 years anyway, just tear it all down. I don't subscribe to that. The NFC East, first of all, is too bad for any of these teams to bury themselves for 3 or 4 years. It is. Like, what team is going to win 12 games anytime soon? Like, we don't have that. So the division is winnable. You're trying to set up a culture. Like, that matters in football. It matters in pro football. A new coach is coming in here, and you're going to get rid of every one of his decent veterans? I just don't think it's even feasible for the Eagles to go down that path. How about you? 215-592-9494. Eric is in West Philly. Hey, Eric.
Listen, how you doing?
Good, Eric.
First of all, let me say this. It doesn't matter what me and you think. The owner had already said that during the press conference. It doesn't really matter.
Well, he didn't say tank, you know, Eric. He didn't say tank,
but he said that this team is not going to win next year. I mean, he came out in the press conference and even said it. Jeffrey Lurie said it. So, look, what Elliott said in his article, he was absolutely right. I mean, I heard Angelo and them talk about it early this morning. I heard everybody else during the course of the day. And they're right, because the whole point is that the Eagles right now are way over the cap. They have to take major hits. Sometimes you can't get used to players. You got to move on from these guys. You know what I mean?
Well, I get that, but you know, you don't have to do it by getting rid of all your good players.
But you have to.
No, you don't.
Every team in the NFL does it.
But not to the extent. No, you don't. I mean, not this is the one thing Howie Roseman is good at, Eric. He can figure out a way to make the cap work.
I said earlier, it doesn't make any sense to keep backloading contracts. Because if you keep backloading contracts, then you're going to continue to have the same problem.
No, it's not down the road. It doesn't have to be backloading.
You
don't have to lose on purpose to fix this football team. It doesn't have to be that way.
I'm not saying that they have to lose on purpose, but you have to get rid of these guys that have been here.
Who are we getting rid of?
You want to go down the line? Okay, Zach Ertz is going to knock on me.
That's fine. You can get rid of Zach Ertz.
Alshon Jeffrey's gone.
I'm not talking about those guys. They have five or six veteran players that are still really good players. And just getting rid of all those guys doesn't make the Eagles any better for now or the future.
Most of your money that's with the Eagles are in the defense. So if you really look at it, Fletcher Cox, okay, those guys, Jerron Harvey, okay, Darius Slay. You're talking about guys that are making a lot of money.
You want to get rid of Hargrave? Just got here. If we do this, when are they going to win again? How are they going to win again?
But you're not going to have players that's going to be on your team, okay, that don't want to be here if you're not going to win. And that's the point.
But who said they can't win games next season?
Listen. This whole notion that you got thinking that the NFC East is going to be like this next year. It's not going to be like this next year.
Wait a second.
You keep forgetting that we're not going to be able to get free agents, okay?
Yes, they are, Aaron. Time out. I don't know where this came from. I guarantee you, Howie Roseman will not just get them to the cap, even on March 19th. They will have money to get players. I guarantee it.
But Elliot made a good point. Why don't you just get rid of those players now? That way you have all this money coming in 2022.
Eric, Elliot's coming on at 8. So he'll explain. And I've read his article. And Eric, I appreciate it. It's a good article, and we'll talk about it. But this idea that the Eagles are so buried that they can't get out of this unless they get rid of their five or six best players, it doesn't make any sense. They can. You think the Eagles are sitting there I'll put it this way. If the only solution to this was as easy as Elliot's article and our discussion, what's Howie Roseman making millions of dollars a year for? There's another way out of this, Tucker. This can't be the only solution. Now one may be more palatable to you versus the other, but if I had to guess, this is going to be a combination of getting rid of guys that are easy cuts, right? Malik Jackson, Alshon, easy. Trading or cutting Zach Ertz, that seems pretty easy at this point. He doesn't want to be here. And then they're probably going to extend contracts for younger players like a Derek Barnett and lower his cap number. There's other ways to do this that are way more logical to keep a competitive team than just saying six best players, out.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to expect this to be more of a transition year. And not just because the total rebuild would be tough to pallet for a proud franchise like the Eagles. If Howie Roseman went up to Jeff Lurie and said, hey, you know how we went 4-11 last year? Probably going to go 2-14 this year. Cool. And then move on with his day.
Not cool.
That he wouldn't be allowed out of his office if he came up with that idea. But the flip side is, Joe, the Eagles don't have any valuable players. There's no one on their team. I was thinking back to the Dolphins, right? Because the Dolphins intentionally tanked 2 years ago, and they ended up winning quite a bit because they had Ryan Fitzpatrick the second half of that season.
They won 5 or 6 games.
They won 5 games, won two their last 2 games beat the Patriots in week 17. But they traded, they let a lot of high-priced guys go. They traded Minka Fitzpatrick for a first-round pick. Who do the Eagles have on their roster right now that you could trade for a first-round pick?
Well, no one.
No one. There isn't any high-priced veteran guy or even just a young guy on a rookie contract who either has a Pro Bowl pedigree or has the value of a first-round pick. I mean, this team is just bloated contracts. So, and I just don't see – one, I don't see how you could get rid of it and get value in return.
Well, and that's – I think it's a great point. What is the point of this? It's almost like the point.
The relief isn't enough for me to say, let's do it. I don't think Fletcher Cox is worth a first-round pick. Fletcher Cox, according to Pro Football Focus, was around the 40th best defensive lineman last year.
Right, the part that I can't wrap my mind around, let's go to use Darius Slay for an example. Right? Darius Slay cost a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick from the Eagles. And
he was terrible last year.
$50 million, and he wasn't good enough. I remember how people were mad when we were saying that during the season.
You want to hear a Darius Slay comparison?
Go for it.
When Nnamdi Asamoah showed up, right? Nnamdi Asamoah was awful, as far as I've been told, right?
Yes.
Nnamdi Asamoah's first year here went targeted. Quarterbacks had a passer rating of 88.
What was our buddy Darius this year?
110. 20th worst in the NFL.
Yeah, and I understand that the average passer rating has jumped in the last decade, but not that much.
Not by 22 points, it hasn't.
Not by 22 points. All right, but Tucker made a great point there. Like, if you're going to get rid of all these guys and you're going to tear this down to the studs, it better make sense. You better, like, if right now the Eagles put Darius Slay on the market, and I think they could save $6 million by trading him, and the offer back is a fifth-round pick, like, does it make us sleep better at night that they got a fifth-round pick in this year's draft or next year's draft to fix this thing? That fifth-round pick is probably not going to play in the NFL. It doesn't really move the needle. It's almost like, you know, what I've gathered today is we're starting to come to the realization they're not going to compete for something significant next year, so it would be easier to swallow a tank rather than they just go 5-11 on their own. I don't want to watch that football next year, and I don't think it's necessary to fix this thing. I think moving money, cutting guys that are easy cuts, and giving your new head coach and new quarterback a chance to develop a culture and set one is significant. Like, what are the Eagles in a year if they get rid of all their good players, whatever 5 or 6 good veterans they have left, they get rid of every one of them. They win 2 or 3 games next year. Jalen Hurts is just getting sacked 60 times because he can't do anything. And Nick Sirianni, like, what are we going to feel about him? Like, how are we going to know what they have unless they give it a real legitimate shot? And that's what I want. Give it a shot. 215-592-9494. Sean is in Wilmington. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Sean. What are you thinking tonight, man?
Man, well, I got 3 things I want to try to get in if I can.
Go for it.
First of all, I'm going to get my anger out. And what you just said, I totally agree with, because I've been keeping up with our offensive line, and their rehabs are all on schedule to be ready to play and go. And we got a couple young guys, not all of them, but we had a couple young guys that played good, and they got some time under their belts in case one of these guys does go down. And the other thing, our receivers, I watched them all last year. Them young boys were getting open, but I think they were thinking about the touchdown and not catching the ball.
Yeah, well, a couple times there was just crazy drops. But, Sean, I'm on the same page as you with the offensive line. I think if they're healthy next year, it's not going to be as bad as people think.
Right. And the other thing is, it wouldn't be fair to Sirianni and his staff and the players that really do want to achieve something for them to tank. And all these people that call in and say, oh, I want him to tank, they're going to be the first ones calling for Sirianni's head.
Of course they are. Could you imagine a Monday morning here after they're 0-8? Like, people will say Nick Sirianni's the worst coach since Kotite. Like, he'll never get a chance.
Right.
No, go ahead, Sean.
Oh, go ahead. All right, to move off the Eagles, because I want to get all my points in real quick. I'm sorry, but pound for pound, he was a boxer. Iverson's the best basketball player that ever lived. He wasn't the golden boy. Reggie Miller or Jordan, if you breathed on him, you got a foul. I mean, people like Shaq and all used to beat the crap out of that man in the lane. They should have been fouled out, you know. But that, and he broken ribs, broken bones.
Sean, he was tough as nails. Great player. Sean, I appreciate it. And I understand what Sean just said there. I got Tucker, Mr. Iverson over there just pumping his fist.
You know how hard it was to bite my tongue hearing what you said the last hour?
Listen, I said what I said because I had to say it. But, I mean, you've made your piece on this before. But quickly on the Iverson thing, pound for pound has always bothered me because it's an unfair way to describe someone. Like, if we, I'm not taking away from AI because I agree with it, right? Like, at his size to do what he did was remarkable. But if we just say that about NFL quarterbacks, like, then I guess Russell Wilson is better than Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and all.
Well, every Drew Brees touchdown is worth 8 points.
That's right. It counts for more because pound for pound, he's smaller. Like, you're in the league. You play against other great players in the league. We judge you on what you do, not what you look like. But the pound for pound thing, people love that. In every sport, people just go crazy for pound for pound. Can I put my hat in the ring for that? Like, pound for pound, me versus other sports radio hosts?
I mean, like, you versus Ike, pound for pound, you're probably better.
Right. I mean, Ike at his playing weight. Ike at his playing weight probably outweighed him by 100 pounds.
Oh, Ike's scrawny now.
Yeah, I mean, compared to what he was then. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. I just can't believe this notion that at least, I would say, I don't know, half the fan base today, just from what I was listening to and observing, was on board with the idea of effectively tanking next season. And the point our last caller made is a good one about the head coach and Nick Sirianni. Like, they'd be burying this guy. You'd have no chance to become a good coach here. And you know what? Tucker mentioned Miami and what Brian Flores did, and he's a good coach. It's a lot different. It's just a lot different. I mean, let's be real about it. It is different here in Philadelphia. Doug Peterson got fired after one bad year, we would take call after call during this season about how bad Doug Peterson was. Doug Peterson, who won a Super Bowl and went to the playoffs 3 straight years, who had built up equity. If Nick Sirianni's handed a team that is without Brandon Graham, without Fletcher Cox, without Darius Slay, without Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, Jason Kelce, if he's handed that team next year, throw Ertz in there too, and they go 3-13, you think we're going to have like mercy on Nick Sirianni? No, he'll never recover in terms of the fan base. They never will. 215-592-9494. Steve in Delco. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, Joe, how you doing, man?
Good, Steve. What's up?
Yeah, I'm first-time caller, long-time listener. I said, when you hear the word tank, that usually comes from the front office. Yeah, that means they didn't have enough confidence in what they put in place to coach this team. I said, there's another T word. It's called teach. I said, when you get these guys out there, I said, there's no receiver coming out of college that forgets how to drop the ball. The biggest thing is they're not getting separation. Let these guys work with the defensive line coaches over there. Get some kind of technique to get off the line. They're wide open. I guarantee you they don't drop the ball. Look what happened to Aguilar this year.
He had a great year out with the Raiders. Great year.
Yeah, there's another thing with the offensive line. Every time I hear them talk about the offensive line on national TV, they talk about how fast our players are. Well, there's a difference between speed and quickness. You know, fast is great in a run game, getting out in front and blocking for your guys. I said quickness is getting out of your stance and getting back there in a passing situation over there and sitting there being able to block these guys before they get to jump on you.
Totally.
I mean, you know, these guys are all 350 pounds out there now, 325, 400 pounds close to something. I say, you know, I just get so aggravated to listen to the whole offensive line get beat up and all this stuff. You were drafted for speed, go in a running game. You're going to draft for quickness, yeah, your passing attack's going to work. You know, the word tank, like I said, I do not understand this. I said, because these are the best guys coming out of college on every team. It's a matter of putting the right guys in the right place with the right techniques. They're all Americans coming out of college nowadays. Plain and simple, they're the best in their division.
There's no doubt. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you could teach them and you can get them better and improve them, you have a chance. And Steve, I appreciate it, man, and I love Steve's passion there. I feel like I'm sitting next to Steve at the link, and he's yelling.
Remember, we used to be allowed to sit next to people.
Yes, it's been a long time. I think it's going to become weird soon, and hopefully, it's very soon when life gets a little bit back to normal. I think like when anyone approaches you like within a few feet, is it going to be strange?
I feel strange when I stand up. Like, even at my house, if I stand up from the couch, I look for a mask. It's weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, people have different ways they've gone about things. But, like, probably all of us have a circle of people that we have been around most, like family, whatever, people you live with. But other than those people, anyone that gets near you, you're like, wait, what's going on? It's weird, like, especially in a store or whatever. But you know what? Pandemic or whatever, I want to sit next to Steve at an Eagles game next year. Sit right next to him in the crowd and we'll talk. 215-592-9494. I want no parts of a tank for the 2021 Eagles. Frankly, I don't think it's necessary. Like, that's really what I go to. Are the Eagles in a retooling period, a rebuild, we can even call it? Yes, and they need one of those. But there's a difference between rebuilding, retooling, and tanking. And just getting rid of every veteran that is here just because they have to get under the cap. Like, there is a way to fix a problem, and then there's a way to take a sledgehammer to a problem. And I don't want to take a sledgehammer to the Eagles. I think it will give Nick Sirianni, the new head coach, no chance to show us if he can coach or not. And it will give the Eagles no chance to develop a culture. One of the things I thought Doug Peterson installed the best here was the locker room culture stuff, the way those guys played hard for him and the way those guys, especially in their good years, really played together. You know, really, Doug's first 4 years, I'll include his first year too, you didn't have much thought the locker room wasn't together. You didn't have much thought they weren't playing hard. They did that. They, no matter who was here, whether it was journeyman, whether it was building blocks, they played hard, they played together. And if you're having a team of just like, you know, replaceable players because you're trading away every veteran, I don't know how you walk into training camp if you're Nick Sirianni and say, we're going to win football games this year. Like, you'd be buried from the start. 215-592-9494. Brian is in Westchester. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Joe. Can someone explain to me why the Eagles need all this money by cutting all these players? Like, what am I doing with all this money? I have no young players to sign. I'm not rebuilding this team through free agency. So what am I doing with all this money?
It's almost like people want to feel better if they have cap room, even though they're not really going to use it.
Right. And I, you know, people are underestimating how poorly this team played because of Carson Wentz. And I will say Jim Schwartz. I mean, his defensive scheme where players come in, it takes them 3.5 years to figure out where to line up in that stupid complex system of his, that's all gone. So they're underestimating those two things.
Yeah, and then well, the other thing they're underestimating, Brian, you know, whether or not you like Schwartz or didn't, like Doug or didn't, we're underestimating, and all of us are, what these new coaches are. Like, we don't know. Maybe they're bad, right? Maybe it's a bad staff, but maybe it's a really good one, and you give them the team that we're going to have next year, and instead of winning 5 or 6 games, they win 7 or 8 and start building towards something really good the next year. Like, that could happen.
Absolutely. Think with everyone, because I'm excited with the new coaching staff. I'm excited about the new quarterback. I'm excited about the rebuild. This isn't the Phillies where we're talking about 15 years, okay? A rebuild should take 2 or 3 years in football, and I have confidence, even though I have issues with some of the things that have been going on with the organization, Jeffrey Lurie, you know, making draft picks, I think they're going to be okay.
I do too, Brian, and I appreciate the phone call. It just feels like doom and gloom the last month. Is it the Carson Wentz support group that's throwing this out there because they don't think the Eagles should or can win without their guy? Like, where is this coming from? I mean, the Eagles haven't had 3 straight 6 and 10 years. I recognize, like everyone else does, that 18 and 19 were way more mediocre than they were great, and that 17 was a fluke more than anything else. But the bottom line is this has not been a losing team for years, and we're at our wit's end, and we're like, well, the only way to fix it now, to really fix it, is to just destroy it and tank it. Like, that's not the NFL, and quite frankly, it's not the Eagles. I just think sometimes when we get frustrated, we ignore track record. We ignore the reality of what it is. We're doing this now with Howie and Jeff. Right? There's no more Carson to complain about or to boost up and say he's better than he is when obviously he's not. There's none of that, so what are we doing? There's no more Doug to say it's his fault. There's no more Jim Schwartz, Tucker's favorite. The anti-Jim Schwartz
brigade.
I mean,
I'm steaming over here.
You're not doing well. But there's no one else to blame. So I think we're just deciding, well, Howie and Jeff are so bad, they can never win again anyway, so just blow the whole thing up. I mean, goodness gracious. It's the NFL. You don't need 5 years to retool. You don't need 5 years to figure it out. And, like, we could think about how you felt in 2012 when Andy left, 4-12, terrible point differential, very few known young building blocks, very few. And how you felt after 2015 with Chip left. 7-9, but really 6-9 with Chip. They had a terrible cap situation. No future to the quarterback position you believed in with Sam Bradford. And a total unknown as a coach in Doug Peterson. In both instances, they bounced back. They won 10 games of both Chip's first 2 years. Made the playoffs in the first one. They won the Super Bowl in Doug's second season. It didn't take 5 years. It wasn't a complete forever rebuild. None of that. And I don't know if some people thought this tank word back then. But quite frankly, that would have been wrong. And quite frankly, it's wrong now. The Philadelphia Eagles should not tank. Agree, disagree. 215-592-9494. And really, would you be okay, as a fan, would you be okay if the Eagles effectively tanked next year to reset the salary cap and to just start fresh? I wouldn't. I don't think it's necessary, especially in this division. Like, we might wake up a year from now and say, wow, Nick Sirianni got up to 7 or 8 wins, and they were in the NFC East race till the last week. He did a good job. We got a good coach. We might wake up in a year and say, wow, Jalen Hurts really looks like the guy. And they have all this cap room now to spend around Jalen Hurts. I can't wait for 2022. That all might happen a year from now. But none of that happens if they basically intentionally lose. No, it's a straight no for me. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here. We'll come back. All your phone calls. Would you be okay with the Philadelphia Eagles tanking the 2021 season? I would not. We'll discuss on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.